Philippians chapter 1, read half of verse 21. First half of verse 21. For to me to live is Christ. To live is Christ. I have made this statement on many occasions regularly, and I will continue to make this statement because it's so true. The things that are so meaningful today and so sincere, so necessary, have been cheapened till they mean nothing. The important things have been cheapened down and made shallow till it means nothing. Let me just give you the institution of marriage. What does that mean today in the world? I mean, if you hold to the traditions of biblical marriage, you're an off branch. You're messed up from the world's perspective. They don't see nothing wrong with two people moving in together, acting like they're married, not married, irregardless of the scripture. Go to church all the time, sitting here preaching all the time, have living examples about it all the time, and it just don't mean anything. It means nothing. The family today, the family unit, means nothing. It's been cheapened down, shallowed down to whatever. We used to call it a dysfunctional family. Now it's non-functional. I mean, it just, because the marriage commitment has been destroyed, Satan's destroyed it, now the family's been destroyed. Not going to be destroyed in society, it has been destroyed. And it means nothing. There's no value to it anymore. Our government promotes the wicked, ungodly lifestyle and the anti-God, anti-Christ, Marxist, socialist platform that there is no God. So if there is no God, you have no rules to live and abide by for societal structure. You don't have any, there's nothing to go by. And the government becomes father, caretaker. The government becomes God. Really, government is God. We'll pay you, we'll give you money, and we'll tell you, you know, and you are all just subjects without any rules or regulations or anything like that. And that's where we're at, and we're never coming back from that. That's gonna get worse till the man of sin comes, the Antichrist takes up his position to rule this earth for a little short time before Jesus destroys him. So the meaningful things, the important things, have been reduced to cheapness and shallowness. And this has got into church work and preaching and what we would call the cream of the crop, the real thing, the Holy Ghost preaching. This has crept into that. Now, the things that are so important that used to be branded on man's conscience, they're shallow. They don't mean anything today. This statement right here is a judgment statement. For to me to live is Christ. Okay? That is the measurement that God is going to judge all of us by. If you say you are a Christian, then for you to live is Christ. And that is the measurement, not some preacher, not some grandparent, not some old-timey guy that did it this way, and we refer to him over and over and over and over again. The measurement by which we're going to be measured by as a Christian is this statement right here. For to me, to live is Christ. That's what you're going to be measured by. And that is a super important, very deep, very committal statement. If you come to the Lord, if that's what you say, the gravity and the enormity of that statement should stagger us. It should be something that we, when you read something like that, you just don't shallowly read over it. You just don't kind of blow through Philippians chapter 1. I've said this many times, slow down. I tell preachers all the time, slow down and read the Bible. What most preachers do and what they peddle out in religion is they preach their philosophy. They preach a religious philosophy, and they just throw a few scriptures at it. Maybe they'll stick. That's not how you preach. We preach the Word. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach Christ crucified. We're told exactly what to preach in the Bible. We're not told to preach philosophy and opinions and what Grandpa did. We're told to preach the faith once delivered to the saints. And it's still here today, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. It'll be here. Somebody will hold that in trust and commitment till Christ comes. And I'm planning on being one of those. Okay? So we preach the Word of God. And this is the measurement by which we are going to be measured by. And you read through these scriptures and let them sink down into your ears and get into your heart, and you meditate upon that. For to me, to live is Christ. I've used that statement over and over again, that biblical statement in preaching, and it grows weightier and heavier in my life as time goes on. It doesn't get more shallow. What I mean, to live is Christ and die is gain. I'm ready to go be with the Lord. You know, it doesn't get more shallow. I'm not dying yet. I'm still living. And for me to live is Christ. That's what the Bible says. That's a standard, the measurement by which we all are measured by. Now, let me say to begin with, nobody meets that standard. But everybody's supposed to strive for it. Everybody's supposed to press to that. Everybody in their world, you'll never be Paul. God didn't call you to be Apostle Paul. He called you to be you, male or female. Whoever you are, redeemed by the blood of Christ, saved by the grace of God, He knows who you are. And what God commands you and fills you with to do is to live Christ for you. For you to live is Christ. That's what He said, comma, and to die is gain. So you don't try to do what Paul did. You don't try to do what your predecessor did. You don't even try to do what I do. You strive to live Christ in your world, in your day, in your life. And the measurement of that, and Christ is going to judge you for that. God does not give us an impossible task. He charges us with doing only that which He gives us the grace to do. And a lot of people try to do what they've not been given to do. There's people in the Bible where they took upon themselves to do this in the office of in the Old Covenant, to do this or to do that. They took it upon themselves to do it, and God didn't call them to do it, and God didn't let them do it, and God didn't fill them to do it, and God didn't, and so it ended in a disaster. So you are only charged to be and do what God gives you to do. And we'll get more into that in detail a little bit later on. So the gravity of this statement, that's what I want us to think about this morning. For me to live is Christ. All right, the enormity of that, the weightiness of that, the heaviness of that in my understanding and in my heart and in my conscience and in my mind, and how that dictates my daily activities. For to me, to live is Christ, okay? Now, we're not saved, and we're not Christians, we're not Christ-like based on the way we think it's supposed to be and how it is. We come to terms with God Almighty through the person of His sons, and we accept the terms that God gives us to be saved by. Okay? Now, to be sure, salvation is by grace through faith. Take nothing away from that. Not of works. If it's of works, it's no more grace. It's of grace, it's no more of works. Can't be both. I understand that. But there are terms to it. And when Jesus was dealing with people in this Bible on earth, which is our example, not what some preacher said, door knocking. When Jesus was dealing with people in this Bible, He always set terms for them. Let me give you a few of them. Let's use Scripture. Let's just use the Bible. Let me give you a few. He told the rich young ruler, go and sell all that thou hast. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Take up your cross and follow me. Those were the terms for him. He would not do that. So he went away sad and grieved. He did not get salvation. The disciples asked Jesus when he walked off, Lord, are there many that be saved? How many people are saved? Are there few that be saved? How then can a man be saved? The terms that are set are so hard, and they are hard. You have to die to yourself. to enter into life with Christ. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Okay? So you don't get saved without taking up your cross. Then the Bible says, now listen to these words, very familiar, shallowly applied. Very, very cheaply applied. The Bible says, for I am crucified with Christ. That is the terms of my salvation. You don't get crucified with Christ, you don't get saved. His crucifixion applies to you, but you must wear that. You must live that crucified life. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, yet I live. Or nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Okay? For to me to live is Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. I'm not living. Remember, I'm dead. For ye are dead in trespasses and sins. That's what he says. And so you who were dead in trespasses and sins hath he quickened. So I'm crucified with Christ, terms of salvation. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not really me. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loveth me and gave himself for me. So for to me to live is Christ, with the crucified life. Without the crucified life, I'm not a Christian. Nobody's a Christian without the crucified life. I'm crucified. These are his terms. You can't be saved without embracing crucifixion. That's why there's a lot of people claim to be saved shallowly, and they're not born again Christian. They've never embraced the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them which are saved the power of God. The preaching of the cross to them which are not saved is foolishness. They can't understand it. They don't get it, and they don't care that they don't get it. They don't want it. They look straight at that cross and say, I don't want that. And no man wants that. No sinner wants the cross. We run from the cross. We flee from the cross. But God's grace draws us to the cross. And the light shines in that's how God purchased our salvation through the agony of what his son went through. So I have to identify with that cross. I have to come believing, trusting. I come by faith to that cross and see that gory death, that agony on that cross, paying my sin debt. That should be me. The hell he took, it should be the hell that I go through for eternity. So I come and I am crucified. I accept those terms. This little old shallow, penny-ante, 2x4 gospel preached today, accept Jesus in your heart. It's from the pits of hell. Hell spawned that. Nobody in this Bible says, will you accept Jesus in your heart? Not one person. You don't find that. You don't find in the Bible any terms like, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Show it to me from the scripture if it's in there. It's not in there. All of that was brought up by preachers who are lost, who are trying to get other people what they call saved, and they just make them twofold more the child of hell than they are because they don't preach the terms of the Bible. They don't preach New Covenant, New Testament, gospel terms, okay? Paul said here, for to me to live is Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet it's not me because I'm dead, yet not I but Christ liveth in me. So he is living his life through me. Therefore, I'm nothing more than a vessel. You go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about vessels of gold and silver and wood and earth, okay? There's a vessel of honor and a vessel of dishonor. And so Christ lives his life in me and through me for that which he gives for me to do. All right, now that's what we're going to get to today. We're headed in that direction. What Christ gives for you to do. So he's living his life by grace, by power, in the person of the Holy Ghost, which is the same person of the Spirit of Christ. He lives his life through you. You walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You're not walking in the flesh. You don't get to obey the flesh, to obey the lust thereof. You're walking under the leadership of the life of Christ, the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, He which should come. The third person in the Trinity abodes in you. He abides in, He takes up His abode in your heart. And now He lives in you. And people don't see you. I've said this so many times. You make me sick. I don't want to see you. You're nothing. You're no better than I am. I'm no better than you are. And all of us together are less than the dust of the scales weighed in the balances before God. That's what He said. What we want to see is Christ in you. We want to see Christ glorified through your distinct personality. Okay? We don't want little Amish robots. We don't want little Mennonite robots. We don't want little Jack Highlights. And we don't want little Billy Grahamites. And we don't want little people like that. And if I could think of some more of them fellas, I'd call their names right now. Bill Gothardites. We're not trying to... We have a distinct, unique, fearlessly and wondrously made makeup. Our own personality, but it is not dominant. What is dominant is the life of Christ, and it enhances my unique personality, the who I am person, okay? That's how His life is manifest through you. That's how we're all bound together as one body, but distinct members, okay? Everybody's got their own personality. But Christ is dominated, it's under the dominion of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. No Lordship of Christ in your life, you're lost and you're going to go to hell when you die. Jesus saves nobody that He's not their Lord. The only way Christ can become your Lord is if you repent of you, if you turn from you. If you acknowledge you're on the broken commandments of God, and you've sinned and come short of His glory, and you can't reach it, and Christ reached it for you, substituted for you His living life, obedient to the commandments, He lived them all, you come to His feet and you bow down to Him, and you say like Peter, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a wicked man. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus sees your humble prostrate place, and He bestows through imputation and impartation, He bestows His life to your account with God. That's how you get saved. You acknowledge you can't do it. The night that I told God I'm a hypocrite, I can't do it, God, for Christ's sake, save my soul. He says, "I know you can't. It's what God told me." Now, I didn't hear no words, but this is what He told me. He says, "I know you can't do it. I've been waiting on you a long time to come to that. For you to come to understand, you stink up my salvation. You make my salvation look bad." That's what God was telling me. You make what I give by grace and power to you, you make that look bad. And you mess it up, so I've been waiting on you to come to the understanding that you can't do it and that I'm going to do it in and through you. Because you're going to receive my Son's perfect life. And you're going to follow His life. And you're going to obey His word. Who is he that loveth me? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He that keepeth them loveth me. And my father will come and make our abode in Him, because we follow His steps. We walk after His commandments. A new commandment I give unto you. Jesus said this over and over again. I command you to do this. I command you. See, the commandments have been pushed out by false preachers that preach lasciviousness for grace and grace for lasciviousness. And they pushed out the commandments of our Lord. And so people don't think they have to obey anything. They just keep on being, "Well, that's just who I am." No, that's not just who you are. Just who you are, God's got a place for you. It's called hell and the lake of fire. He had that place for me. He's got that for all of my family and all of my kids and all of my grandkids. If I'm not covered by the life of Christ, A man covers a woman in marriage. Amen. He becomes her head. She takes his name. Jesus, I'm espoused unto him. I take his name. I'm a Christian. I take the name of Christ because he covers me. I'm hid in Christ with God. Look at Colossians right quick. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Now remember, we're talking about the weighty, enormity, heaviness of being a Christian. For me to live is Christ, okay? And how heavy that is. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen. If you're risen. Now, if you're not risen, then you ain't got it. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. No sinner seeks things above. Lying preachers come up with that. Sinners run from God. Would you like a Bible verse for that? The first man that sinned didn't come running to God and say, God, have mercy on me and forgive me. The first man that sinned hid from the presence of God and tried to make him some fig leaves. And I think our churches are filled up with fig leaf religion today. People have run from God and they've sewed them fig leaves together and they sat down in a Baptist church and called themselves saved. Nobody seeks things above. God draws you to it. He gives grace, compelling, desiring grace. And you come with your head bowed, humbly, prostrate, down low. You're like the prodigal. I'm unworthy. I'm not worthy to be called. I'm not even worthy to be called by you, much less called your son. And you come that away, and God, when he sees you humble that away, repentant, he meets you more than halfway. While he was yet a great way off, his father ran out to him, and that's how God gets you in. Okay, you don't seek it as a sinner. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. There is none that seeketh God. There is none that goeth. We've all turned to our own way, the Bible says. We need to get that straight. I don't care what lying preachers tell you. They've messed it up. That's why we got religion everywhere and not salvation and immorality and wickedness and laziness and shacking up and worse. I'm talking about worse than Sodom and Gomorrah culture today. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah, they couldn't cut off women's body parts and attach men's body parts and cut off men's body parts and attach women's body parts. They're promoting stuff now showing a man with a beard nursing a child. I mean, it's straight out of hell. They didn't have that in Sodom and Gomorrah's day. We're wicked beyond belief, and we got more religion than we've ever had. Something's wrong. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. People hadn't come to terms with God. They've not been crucified with Christ. Now you got preachers running around saying sodomites are saved. They just messed up. No, they're not saved. They're reprobated. And it's evidence God has given up on them. Amen. And so, he says here, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead. There it is. That's the terms. You didn't die. You didn't get saved. Thomas said, the Lord said, I go to Jerusalem. The disciples said, Lord, they're trying to kill you up there. And Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem. Now, they're like we are sinners. They didn't want to go to that cross. None of them. He drug Peter kicking and screaming against it. He made Peter watch it all, and Peter didn't believe none of it. Amen. He didn't believe it till after the resurrection. Put that out there for some preachers to get a hold to. And so Thomas said, let us also go to Jerusalem, we might die with him. They knew what the terms were. They knew if Jesus went up there, they was going to kill him. Word had filtered out. Everybody knew it. Judas was already making plans to betray him. And Jesus set his face as a flint toward Jerusalem to go be our sin bearer and sin payer and sin killer. And by the cross, he crushed the head of the serpent. And he had to go do that. Well, the natural man, he recoils from that. And so God graciously draws. You begin to, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shines in. He did that for me. There's no escape for me. I'm surely bound to hell in the lake of fire unless I come to the cross. Well, if you come to the cross, you've got to die. Yeah, but by my death, I shall live. And I believe that. And I trust God for that operation that He works in my heart. I believe that even though I die, that yet I shall live and I'll have a glorious life, a wonderful life, a joyful life, a powerful life, an eternal life, a life of no regrets. That's the kind of life we get as a Christian. Amen. And so if you then be risen with Christ, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. It's just like a glove on a hand. This is you, and God covers you with Jesus Christ. He can't see you. When Christ, God looks down at us as judge, He don't see us. He sees Christ in us. He sees the perfect righteousness of Christ, shed blood of Christ. He sees the perfect life of Christ. He does not see us. And so that, and we're dead. So now we don't have title, rights. We don't have anything to claim as our own because we've been bought with a price. Well, you're not your own. You don't get to act like you want to. You have to act like He made you in Christ. Amen. You don't get to claim, well, that's just who you are. That don't work around here. That you won't stay here long with that, because I'll be sure and clamp down on that hard enough that either you'll repent or leave. Amen. And I don't like anybody running off, but I'm not just going to take you because of who you are. And nobody should take that. So the Bible says here, your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, now for to me to live is Christ. The enormity of that. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Verse 5, these are the terms you agreed to, Christian. Mortify. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Now, these are your members, okay? Listen to me. These are your members. Fornicator! If you thought it, you did it. You're a fornicator. Mortify that. Fornicator? Well, I did. Yes, you did. We all did. We all got Adam's sinful nature. Some of us only think it. We did it. Fornicator. Fornicator. That's who you are. Amen. I know. Gets kind of tense. Why not? You know what? Why not bring that to the blood? Why not get that canceled out? Why not get that done away with as far as the east is from the west? The depths of the sea, put behind God's back, God never turns around. Why not get that old fornicating deal taken care of? And the list goes on. Uncleanness, that's you. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that's forbidden desires, things we ought not to, we desire things that are forbidden, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, just as bad as fornication, not being content with what you have. That's idolatry, that's God worship, little God worship. That's what you are outside of Christ. He's charging you with that. You're charged with it. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man, how? Crucified with Christ, dead with Christ, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Those are the terms, my brethren. For to me to live is Christ. Christ forgave sin. Christ did not hold sin. He forgave it. When He died on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. For you to live is Christ. and you have to say to those that trespass you, Father, forgive them. Amen. That is what my Lord said. For me to live is Christ. Forgive them, I mean, from the depth of my soul. Bleeding on Calvary, my life being poured out, forgive them. Stephen had that. Lay not this sin to their charge. We are to forgive one another. Forbear one another. You are to, from the depths of your soul, let it go. That's Christ. For to me to live is Christ. Amen. Are we that guilty? Let me tell you something. Get on the good side of that. Where you can say, hey, praise God. Hallelujah. I don't let that stuff bear me down. I don't carry those offenses around. We're told to walk on a straight and narrow. And every time somebody crinkles up their nose at some of you, you get say, give me that offense. Let me carry this offense. I want to be offended. I'm going to carry this offense. And I'm on a straight and narrow. Give me some more. You got some more offenses? The woe unto the offenses must come. Give me a double arm load. Give me offenses like I'm carrying a 6x6, 15, 16 foot long on the straight and narrow. So when I get just enough, I'll fall off. Give me some more offenses. How about freedom from them? How about shucking that load and saying, thank God that stuff don't dominate me anymore. Thank God by the power and grace of God I can let that go. And that becomes, I sit on the porch and drink my coffee in the evening and them little gnats fly around, buzz around. They're there, but all I got to do is swat it away. If that sucker dares land on me, I smash him. And that's what you need to do with the fences. Swat them away. Smash them out. Don't bear those things that happen. It's going to happen till you die. I mean, your old mama and daddy will do it. Listen to me. My mama had problems with me till the day she died. I had a lying brother that impersonated a preacher and played the victim to her, and she died not knowing any better. And I just, that's my mama. And I love my mother. And she brought me to the world. She brought me to church. And I just swat that away. I'd go down there and she'd rankle me and snort. And she had some problems anyway, psychologically. And I just had to get them offenses off of me. Over. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Because I'd rather have freedom from offenses than not desire to go see her. Amen. So live Christ. Christ forgave them. Amen. There's the scriptures. People don't want to do it. You know why? One of two possibilities. Either Christ is not in you and you can't do it, or he's in you and you're suppressing it. 1 John chapter 5. Hold your place in Philippians 1. We're going to run back over there at the close of this. But in 1 John chapter 5, these are the terms. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. Now, this is the record. Now, let me say something before I read this. Everybody look over here. Y'all know the scripture. This is the record concerning God's sons. Let me reestablish the record concerning you. You are dead. That's the record. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You have no life with God. You're strangers from God and everything that everybody loves that knows God. That's strange to you. I remember the day when that was the way it was with me. My record was I was dead. Okay? So, having established that, now let's read this. For this is the record, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He gave the world the life of Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But see, these lying, worthless, no good, hireling, God-robbing, tithe-teaching hands that just preach for money, go around and they minimize that John 3:16. Jesus didn't start with John 3:16. He started in John 3:14, where it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, relating himself to that serpent on a pole. And they won't preach that. They just preach the little Billy Graham, Mother Hubbard stuff about God gave his son, and if you accept Jesus in your heart, God will save you. No, he won't save you until you come to terms about being crucified with him. That other stuff too shallow and cheap. It prostitutes, adulterates the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let it be on the record that I said that. God has given to us life, he says. Eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Verse 12, his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's the record. Period. That's the end of that thought. You got the Son. If you got the Son, you got eternal life. His life is in you. It's in you in heaven. It's in you on earth. For you to live is Christ. That's the measurement. That's the standard. That's what you're going to be judged by. The most basic elementary is forgiveness. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Let me tell you something. There's a preacher that come through this country that we were bosom buddies in the ministry. He come down through here about a week ago. I spent countless days, preached meetings. They called me to pastor up there half a dozen times. And we were as close as you could get in the fellowship. And I love it. And as far as I'm concerned, I still feel that way today. But for some reason, he counted me unworthy of fellowship. And coming through this country here a week or so ago, at one time, folks, listen to me. Let me tell you what this man did. He come to the place where I was pastoring and told me he was fixing to drag his family up, move up, and join my church. Would we take him? I said, we'll take everybody God wants us to have. That's what God wants you to do. That's what he thought about me. Today he won't talk to me. What's wrong? I love him. Would love to fellowship with him. He's welcome in my house, spend the night with me, sit down. Nothing has to be brought up. I hold nothing against him. I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened. I have no earthly idea. That happens a lot in the ministry. That happened with Paul. Oh, they that be in Asia hath forsaken me. We ain't talking about Jamie there. We're talking about Paul. So it happens. Satan makes sure it happens. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Something happened that I'm unaware of that they feel trespassed over to a breach of fellowship. Why not forgive it? Jesus said in the last days, people are going to be so unforgiving, the love of many is going to wax cold. That's what you're witnessing. And we got to fight it in our church, folks. You got to fight it. I'm fighting it. I'm spitting, snarling, clawing. I'd bust this pulpit if I thought I'd get this unforgiveness out of here. You got to fight that stuff in your own heart. Some of you are eat up with it. It's a cancer eating on you. All you have to do is recognize. Go to Calvary again. We need to sing that song about bring me back to Calvary lest I forget what you've done for me, that I might exercise that same grace and forgiveness to others. Amen. Some of you, listen up, look at me. You're being ruled and dominated by it. And it will destroy you like it has destroyed everybody before you. You are going to be another victim of it if you don't let God give you the grace to get over it. And he will. When you do what God tells you to do, it presents Christ. No greater preacher of Christ than Calvary. And forgiveness. And these so-called Christ-like Baptists that don't forgive their brethren and other, not even your brethren, other people, You sure you've been saved by God's good grace? Come to them terms, for you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You paint that syrupy look on your face. You paint that tolerating smile. For 2 hours I'll tolerate you. 45 minutes on Wednesday and Sunday evening I'll tolerate you. But I'm going home after that. I don't have to tolerate you no more. Hello, Christ. Hello, love, with a pure heart fervently. Amen. Folks, I might be guilty of some things in my judgment, but preaching you the truth ain't going to be one of them. I'm telling you, if I sniff that stuff, I'm going to bark at it. I'm going to scream about it. You cannot allow that to be in your life. None of you, every one of you, have got to let that go. You got to willfully, like God, willfully puts it away because of Christ's sake. You got to put it away because of Christ's sake. I mean, it's an act of your will. I will not harbor that. They can cuss me. They can spit on me. And I've had all that happen. I mean, every bit of it. And I just kept on. In the love of God, just keep on. It's not me. They're so messed up. They don't know what they're doing, Lord. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that you have to. That's the mind of Christ. They don't know what they're doing. They're blinded in their sin. And you have to forgive them. Amen. For to me to live is Christ. Now, go back to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 20. Now, I'm serious about this. This is an enormous weight this morning. As far as I'm concerned, no UN meeting, no presidential administration meeting, no G20 summit with that bunch of reprobate antichrist seven-headed, ten-horned outfit called world leaders are going to meet together and have this important session as we're having here today. I'm serious as I can be about that. They're dying and going to hell and don't even know it. Greasing their skids on dollar bills, selling their soul for power of the devil. But we're talking about things eternal here where people are supposed to know better. Verse 20. And according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Now let me say this. Listen to me. If you're not to me to live as Christ in every aspect, you ought to be ashamed. I'm going to do my best to make you feel that way. Praying that God will make you feel ashamed. Ashamed of not forgiving. Ashamed about murmuring and complaining. Ashamed of coveting and acting like God hadn't given you what you need. If you got what you deserve, you'd go to hell. But God has took good care of us and filled us to the max and give us double cars and air conditioners and more food than we eat. We throw it in the garbage dump. You can't go haul your garbage off because it stinks so bad what we throw away. And covetous? You ought to be ashamed. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Magnify Christ in your body. For to me to live is Christ. And I'm going to magnify that. He's in me, and I'm going to magnify it. I'm going to make it larger than it really is by the grace of God. I'm going to make sure with all boldness everybody can see I'm a Christian. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be temperate. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to be loving. I'm going to magnify what God put in me. That, y'all don't have that in your Bible, do you? Christ magnified in your body. I mean, I'm determined to do it. That's what he's saying here. Okay, let's break that down. Let's preach a little bit on our life. Every one of you men hold a job, magnifies Christ in your life. on the job. That means you're gracious, long-suffering. You work harder than anybody else. Jesus went farther than any man. He strove to great drops of blood coming out of him. He agonized in his work. And if Christ is going to be magnified in you don't do it for pride. You don't do it for you get personal accolades. You do it to magnify Christ. You work hard and you work long and you do what God wants you to do in front of people. Those men that you work with can relate to that. They can't relate to this, what I'm doing. But they can relate to that. And you magnify Christ in your life. Your personal life. Your home life. Men, you're Christ-like at home. Christ prayed to his Father. Christ taught the Word. Christ lived the Word. For to me to live is Christ in my home life, in my church life, in my work life. You women, your life is wrapped up in the home. Don't come to me with this keepers at home stuff and your house looks like the green box dumping place down there. Amen. That's your realm. That's your court. That's your kingdom. That's what you do. God give you control of that house and them kids. And you magnify Christ. You keep that house like Jesus could come in there this evening. Don't tell me you can't. I say baloney. And I can say other things. You must confess. If that's the case, you won't do it. Get off that phone. Get off that internet. Amen. For me to live is Christ. Keep her at home. Virtuous woman. Her price is far above her. She looks well to the needs of her household. She excelleth them all. Everybody's clothed. Everybody's fed. It's a nice place to come to. I don't have to hide. Shut the door. Some of you men need to get involved in that and be the head of the house and lovingly inspect and make that a requirement. Amen. But I know you're scared something might happen if you do. And I won't get graphic, but you know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you something. It could happen the other way if you don't. That's what I say. You don't hold the reins in this. I'm the head of the house. I'm telling you, for you to live is Christ. You're home. Well, my husband, he don't require me to keep a nice, pretty house. Well, you're something wrong with your husband. Amen. You ain't repenting yet, so I'm going to keep on hammering on it. Swell up and all that rebellion, act like I have no right to say this because my husband said, I can go over your husband in one place, folks. That's the Word of God. That Bible says that you are to keep your house. To live is Christ. And he ought to get in on that. Quit making excuses. Hearing a bunch of little whimpering and squalling around. How does that happen? I tell you how it happens. For men and women, you get up early and you go to bed early. And God made darkness to go to sleep in and made day to get up in. And you start in the morning and you don't let the daylight hit you with dirty dishes and unwashing clothes. Amen. Slop out on the outside. We'll meet in judgment, see what God says. For you to live as Christ in your home life, in your family life. You sit on a royal queenly throne, ladies, mothers, happy Mother's Day. But you're sitting in a palace and you need to have that thing, have those children in that day-to-day routine in their proper places, dead end mothers both there, but the mother, especially with us in the homeschooling and fighting this wicked old culture like we do, have them children in a good behavior. For me to live is Christ. Church life. Church life. Men and women. Christ. Christ. Christ did it, I'll do it. Amen. Christ magnified in all of my relationships. How can I do that? Well, I just couldn't get up in the morning. You're lazy. Amen. First thing you need to do is confess that. Tell me you can't. I've been getting up early in the morning all my life going to work. Working hard all day long. Come in, my wife. You want to take a walk this evening? No! You won't take a walk because you ain't done nothing. Amen! I'm wore out. You walk, I'll ride a golf cart. Think about me. Amen! I ain't projecting. You think about me. I've been out there in that sun all day long. Making a living for the family. Making a living for the church. Amen. Paying the bills. Amen. I don't get here and come in from work and I recognize you. You got the easy part of this. Amen. If you'll go to bed at night, when I get here, you have this thing set in order. When I get here, you recognize me. In them old TV sitcoms, when Daddy come in, they brought his slippers to his feet because his dogs hurt him. That's what they would say, his feet hurt. Brought him his pipe and his paper. Amen! He sat down. She brought him some coffee. That was Hollywood. Check it out. I dare you. Go look at it. Nowadays, women wall around, frolic all day long on internet and supernet and actnet and whatever else kind of deal they got, and kids running wild through the house, slop piled up knee deep to a tall Comanche, clothes unwashed from here to eternity and back, husband gets in and he's supposed to notice her. First thing I'd do is run a fire through that place, get this mess burnt out of here, and then we'll notice you. Amen. When I come in, you got this in a queenly way. Then I say, honey, bless God, let's go out and eat tonight. Amen. Get the babysitter. Call the oldest grandkid in here. Let's babysit. I recognize you. I see some of y'all don't want to flinch on that. We need to repent. You magnify Christ in your life. Christ was everything but lazy. Christ stayed up late, went further, worked harder, did it all. Gave his life blood. I'm talking about drained him. That's the way you're supposed to be. Now, you're in your distinct personality. Now, if you was crippled up, you had some kind of handicap, that'd be different. But I ain't looking. Nobody's got handicaps except up top here. Let me tell you something. While I'm on it, God wants me to say this. See, here we're rebels by nature. And women are bad about this. So suck it up, ladies. This is Mother's Day for you. So what you want to do, you hate the day because you're by yourself, you're fooling around toiling with kids and washing dishes and all that all day long. Hey, man, let me get down here where I can see. And if it comes nighttime, you won't stay up all night. Amen? Yeah. And so you get in a pattern of that because you're a rebel. And that's your time. It's nighttime. You need a covered wagon to go across this country with. See about your time. You need to bury your babies on the trail when they settled Oregon and California. And I'm just saying. Talk about their time. They picked up buffalo chips and wood and buried their people in crossing rivers and streams, and Indians killed them, planted churches, built schools, buried babies. Talk to me about my time. You see, we're rebels. We won't stay up at night. You know why? Because the devil rules the night, and that wicked comes on at night. We finally get a little break, and we can go in there and internet for about 9 hours at night and see what everybody's saying on Facebook and lying about, present some kind of beautiful picture of me and my family, which is a big fat lie. Yeah. Go to bed. Cut that mess off. I like to go to bed about between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. Unless God, people will call me about things of the Lord, and I'll set up with them. Otherwise, I want to be fresh in the morning. And that'll work for women too. Daddy ought to say, honey, it's time to go to bed. Lay it down. Y'all all go to bed, put the kid. That's the way my mom and daddy went to bed. Everybody went to bed. And if you frolicked in there and if he couldn't go to sleep, he'd come in there and busted your rear end because you was messing up his sleep. Back then, all the doors were open, all the windows were open. Everybody went to bed. Everybody got up. Mama cooked breakfast early. Real early. Before 7 early. Every day early. My mama. Until she got old and all the kids left. Kept a clean house. My daddy came in for lunch. We had this at my house. My kids got up in the morning. My wife cooked breakfast. We had breakfast. When I surrendered to preach, we had Bible study. I went about the day's activities and work. I come in at night, maybe lunch, but especially in the evening. We sat down. We had a meal together. Shut you up. Me and your mama's going to talk. You're not going to, I don't want to hear one word. I don't like it. You won't eat for 2 days. We'll see how you like it. What am I saying? I'm establishing Christ, authority, order, peace, harmony. You got to destroy the enemy. Harmony. The flesh, the devil. Amen. Magnify him in your life. How? Verse 19, I'm through. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Through your prayer. He said, I know you're going to be praying for me, but look at what he says. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the life of Christ right there. God supplies you with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's how you live Christ. That's how you magnify Him in your body. Listen to me. Everybody look up here so we'll be sure that everybody understands. We live cheap today. We live shallow today. People are lazy today. They've been made lazy with conveniences. You got every kind of contraption there is set on a countertop. Wash clothes. Bathe with every kind of soap and oil and flowing water spigot you can get. We have been made to be lazy. I tell you, when I stand up here and say, I don't want to hear nobody talking about being tired, it ain't because you stay up all night frolicking around. It's because you're out working me. Because I get up in the morning and go to work, and I work till I can't hardly go through the day, and somebody's calling me when I get home, and there's things to take care of other times. And if I get a Saturday to myself, there's always something to do there. That's why I say I don't want to hear that. You get up in the morning and start your day about 5:30. You work all day. I've told them many times, they'll start when I start and go like I go today. They'll be ready for bed at night. Amen. We got bad habits, folks, and I'm through. I'm harping on them. I'm stomping on them. I'm plowing them up. I'm rebuking them. I'm reproving them. I'm exhorting. You'll love the life. You'll have the most, if you'll apply what I'm preaching by faith, you'll have the most satisfied work life, personal life, home life, and church life. It's so good to go to church. Man, you know what? I don't have nothing against you. You're a knucklehead, but I don't have nothing against you. Nothing. I don't have nothing against Jacob. I don't have nothing against Jacob. Thankful, thankful, thankful. I'm thankful for my children. I can go to church and worship with a clean heart. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart. I can look forward when we're in harmony. Work, it does my heart good to say, mission work. Go help this brother over here. And the church said, I'm ready to go. I like that. Count me in, Spirit. You got, that's what, man, you got to have that. Count me in. I'm there. You don't, I'll be there. Just count. Don't even, you have to ask. Just tell me when, where. Show up. I'm there. That's the kind of attitude. And we're pulling together. And for to me, to live is Christ. Let's stand together and have a song. May God help us in our hearts to repent. Turn. Let me say again, if you'll repent in your mind, it'll be a whole lot easier than repenting after the fact. I want to say that again. If you'll just clear it in your heart and mind with God, it's a whole lot easier than having to face. Can I give you a little illustration? If when David saw Bathsheba, he'd have said, Lord, you give me 10 wives. I'm not looking at that. Forgive me. And he could have even, his lust of the eyes could have went to, no, I'm not. But then what happened? See, he could have repented right there. Mm-hmm. Right? He lusted right there. He could have repented. Oh, no. No, let me kill Uriah. Let's let old Nathan find out about it. Mm-hmm. And everybody, all the whole enemy, Moab, they'll hear about it. Edomite bunch, that bunch of Philistines, let them hear it. And I still got to repent. Repent in your mind than it is after the fact. Are you hearing me? You need to learn how to do that. As we sing.